Hi, it's The Herd. 1-800-Flowers.com is my choice for sending flowers for any occasion. All right, I count on them to deliver the best quality flowers. They're backed by their award-winning customer service. I met with Chris McCann, president of 1-800-Flowers.com, and he told me this. His brother Jim started the company over 30 years ago, and they still run it today. Their passion for servicing their customers and three decades of floral experience has led to the 1-800-Flowers.com smile guarantee. So when sending roses, count on 1-800-Flowers.com to be your rose authority. This week, a special offer on beautiful multicolored roses. Buy one dozen, get an extra dozen free. That's a full 24 multicolored roses bouquet for $29.99. To get this and other special offers, you have to go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio mic, upper right side, enter Colin. 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin. Or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my name, Colin.
If you follow high school sports, you get the opportunity to be excited about this. If you don't follow high school sports, I'll shut the radio off. No, 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 that's not right. We're going to talk college sports. We're going to talk pro sports. I think we kind of do that every day.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with Doug Duda.
Can you do the show today? I need to go take a nap. I lay stuff out for you and you just bury it. I thought my pile on my side of the desk was an embarrassment. I do things for you on this show all the time. I'm always giving for you.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
Get over here and sit on my lap, sweet baby.
Oh, Tierra Park wasn't her name?
No.
Oh.
No.
Does that change the way you look at things?
Get in contact by emailing the Dent Popper inbox at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com or give us a call on the Bruce Furniture fan line at 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-3776. Now let's head to the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We're glad to have you along on this first Wednesday of February, which of course means Happy Groundhog's Day, Daddy.
Happy Groundhog's Day to you out there. It's very exciting to see that groundhog. He certainly didn't come out of the hole, did he?
Well, it's warmer than they're trying to sell me that it was warmer in Green Bay and Pittsburgh than Dallas yesterday, and I'm not buying it. There's no way it was warmer in Green Bay yesterday. How'd the groundhog do today, Merritt?
He did not see a shadow, so therefore no winter.
That, like, never happens. So does that mean this hopefully is our last really bad cold blast? We hope so. For some folks, though, they hope that Groundhog's Day maybe goes a couple of more days because it's a pretty cool day. It's National Letter of Intent Signing Day. In just a second, we're going to catch up with our own Zach Starup of Hastings St. Cecilia. He made it official this morning, signing with the Huskers. We'll also be catching up with Charles Davis of the NFL Network, get his take on what he saw last weekend at the Senior Bowl and his preview of the Super Bowl. We'll talk with Nebraska baseball coach Mike Anderson. Mitch Sherman breaking a story today in the Omaha World Herald that Logan Ehlers may, because of technicalities, receive a suspension in eligibility from the NCAA, the young man out of Nebraska City. Come on, NCAA. And in a little bit, we'll also have our Looper Link. As we do every Wednesday, we'll talk a little hoops with UNK co-ed men's basketball coach Kevin Lofton. They're playing a little bit better and now back on the road after two weekends at home. But Tony, as you said, Nebraska, they pick up. Yesterday we had John Tallman on. Of the couple of guys that Nebraska thought they had a shot at, they did get one of them, and it's kind of a surprise, maybe the one that they didn't think they did get.
Yeah, everybody thought Todd Pete Jr. was leaning towards staying at home and being an Arizona State Sun Devil, or his second choice looked to be Oregon State. Third choice, Nebraska with an outside chance. They land him this morning. So 19 players have signed right now. They're still waiting on the two junior college and Joe Carter and Damian Stafford to commit and get their paperwork in. There was some trouble getting their paperwork to them via FedEx, so they are working out the details. They will be signed shortly, but right.
The weather is a problem for most of the country, not just in Nebraska, but obviously you're seeing all the brutal snow to the south and the east of the state where folks just can't even get around. And so some of the signing day pomp and circumstance, is not going on. But I'll tell you what, it wouldn't have mattered what the weather was. Our next guest would have just pusted through the snowdrifts with his bare hands, and he just shoved those 2 feet piles out of the way to get to Chapman Gymnasium and sign his national letter of intent today. Daddy, we've known about it for a long time, but today it all becomes official.
Yeah, finally the day. Zach Stirrup joins us. Zach, good morning. Congratulations on finally getting this day here, and I guess you're signing over with.
Thank you.
What's it been like? I know it just happened a little over a half an hour ago, but it's build up. Tell me what was going through your mind when you were signing your name on the paper.
Just a mixed feeling of relief and anxiousness to get to Nebraska. I mean, I've known I want to go there for a while, but just today making it official, it's just getting a lot of pressure off my back.
Zach, when you finally made it official, if today is official, but when you said you were confident you were going to Nebraska, did other teams back off of you, or were you still receiving phone calls and letters from other people up until this week?
For the most part, teams just backed off. Every once in a while, I'll get a letter just randomly, but no phone calls or anything, so I just remain solid in my commitment, and there's nothing really going on within the other teams.
Did they talk to you about how many of these other offensive linemen in this class did you get a chance to meet and hang out and get to know a little bit about?
I met all of them in person, and so it's just a great group of guys, and I'm excited to see what we can do as a unit once we get to Nebraska.
Hastings St. Cecilia, Zach Stirrup, and now future Nebraska Cornhusker, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on this National Letter of Intent signing day, making it official today. Zach, what do you think was the craziest part about this whole recruitment process? We talked to a variety of players before they sign, after they sign, even when they finish up their college days. Everybody has to go through it, and really nothing can prepare it for you. What was the craziest moment during this last year, during this process?
I'm not really sure about craziest moment, but just the craziest thing is just getting bombarded by coaches and emails and letters. I mean, every day I just go to the mailbox and find 5 or 6 different colleges all send me letters. At one point, actually, Wisconsin, is after I took an unofficial to Wisconsin, I received 22 letters from each coach had written a letter to me and to my parents. And so there's just a big old stack of mail from Wisconsin.
Did it ever quit being fun and start being more of a pain?
Yeah, I think for a time there, I just kind of got overwhelmed with everything, with coaches, getting back to all the coaches. If I missed a call, I'm calling them back. And then the rivals reporters, there's each team has its own rivals reporters, so I have to keep in touch with all of them. And then just everyday life, I mean, it just all kind of got lost in there for a while and overwhelmed. And then once I finally made my decision to commit to Nebraska, a lot of that went away.
Zach, obviously, those in Lincoln, they love to redshirt offensive linemen, have you learn the system. How soon do you expect to be on the field, and what position do they have you at playing right now?
I've been told I'll probably redshirt my first year. And so after that year, then I'll just be looking to compete for playing time. I've been told that there's no guarantees, but if you go and work out every day and give it your best to compete every day, then you'll move up the line. And I'm planning on playing offensive tackle. I'm not sure left or right side right now, but somewhere in there, hopefully there's a place for me.
Another minute with Zach Stirrup, because he's probably still got to go back to class, although it should be Zach Stirrup Day, and a parade should be held in his honor at St. Cecilia. Zach, you're battling through a great basketball season over there. I know you'll probably be a terror on the intramural courts down there, but let's talk about what sold you on Nebraska football. Was it straight out getting to stay at home and something that you had dreamed about since a kid, or was there something else that stands out about going to Nebraska?
Well, I mean, it's a big factor just being in the home state. And you grow up watching them, and you grow up, every kid's dream is to be one of those players run out of the tunnel. But then also, I just felt a warm feeling from all the coaches and people involved with the football program at Nebraska. Just the people around the program really made it for me.
Zach, who was more excited today, you or Mom or Dad?
I don't know. My mom was pretty excited, so I'd probably have to say her. But, I mean, it's great to be me today.
I told you, Groundhog's Day for Zach Sterb wouldn't be too bad. I get to celebrate a little today. And then I suppose you still got to go to basketball practice, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We got that right after school, so. But it can't really throw a damper on my day today.
Zach, let me ask you, because I'm curious. If you hadn't picked Nebraska, who was second on your list?
It was a close tie between probably Iowa and Stanford and maybe Auburn in there. Those two or three schools I really liked.
Well, that's really interesting. Auburn, your dad didn't say anything about $200,000 for the church, did he?
No.
Well, Zach, we'll let you get going. We appreciate you giving us a chance to chat with you on this very busy day. Go out, celebrate, and we look to see you on that basketball court and probably back in Lincoln making an appearance at the Devaney before the season's over. Congratulations again.
All right, thank you.
That is Zach Sterb, newest Husker, one of the many that is signed today. And, in fact, Tony, just about every letter of intent is in already this morning.
Yeah, 19 letters of intent are in. They're still waiting on the two junior college kids, and that is Joe Carter. Both of them come from Rancho Cucamonga, California. Chaffee Community College, Damian Stafford, and defensive end and defensive back there. So, once their paperwork gets in, the class will be complete, and I think the big surprise of the day obviously comes out of Phoenix, Arizona, when Todd Pete Jr. picked Nebraska over Arizona State and Oregon State. A four-star defensive tackle really adds to this class and can do nothing but bolster this class and then the rankings. It could be close to a top 10 recruiting class when all is said and done.
Aaron Green just signing moments ago to make it official with Nebraska, so that's what's going on out there. It has become a day unto its own, a media day at the Super Bowl, and now National Letter of Intent signing day. A lot going on out there. And we'll talk more about the recruiting news. One interesting note here before we move on to our Loper link is what is going on behind the scenes. And I have a feeling, Tony, that a lot of folks still want to know what's going on with the Husker coaching staff, what's going on with the linebacker position now that Mike Eckler is gone, what will go on if any changes are there. And I said, people were asking us about this 2 weeks ago. I said, I can't imagine that anything would happen until signing day. Well, signing day is here, and then today, Bo Pelini will talk about the recruiting class, and it'll be interesting. 2:30, we're going to bring it to you here on the air, but it's going to be a little different than what we had anticipated because it's not going to be a full-fledged press conference. It's going to be a teleconference where he's at a phone somewhere and everybody has to dial in and call in and listen to that. So it'll sound a little bit different today. And I find that very, very interesting. Why would that be? There has been a signing day press conference, and everybody does it, and there's been a signing day press conference at Nebraska for 15, 20 years, according to some of the reports I'm reading. And it's just strange.
That is a little strange. I think the fact that he didn't want to take questions about the coaches and changes on the staff that will soon be made, I think was be number one. Number two, he never wants to single out players and say, oh, my gosh, Daniel Davis, we recruited him out of Beatrice to be in. I mean, he doesn't break down that kid. He doesn't say Charles Jackson, defensive back out of Klein, Texas, Collins High School, we really like him because, he just does not like to single out anybody. He wants to come out and say, you know what, we were trying to get the best recruiting class. We think we've got it. We've got one that fit a lot of our needs. You know, you're not going to get a lot out of him. I just know that he hates to single out players. When somebody wants to come at him and say, boy, Zach Stirrup, for instance, really, when do you see him on the field? Is that a kid that could bypass a redshirt season and get on the field immediately for you, help you out at one of those tackle positions? Bo Pelini's not going to do that. He's not going to say those things. People are going to come at him that way. He will deflect those. I think that's another reason.
And a update was sent to all media members, Nebraska, that covered Nebraska football yesterday. Here's one of the lines from the announcement from Media Relations Director Keith Mann yesterday. As a reminder, this teleconference is an opportunity to discuss the 2011 recruiting class and signing day, and not various other topics. What other topics are there, Tony? I mean, you can do whatever you want, blog, chat board, but I have not seen from Mitch or Sip or any Dirk, any of the guys out there, there's not been anything even talking about a coaching, anything that I have seen in the papers of any significance for over a week, 2 weeks.
Yeah, certainly.
So what are they talking about? Various other topics. Something's happening. Something's happening down at UNK, too. They're getting ready to board a bus and get back on the road after
again?
Playing some good. Well, hey, 2 weekends at home, they've been playing some good basketball. It's time for our Loper Link, brought to you by Charterwest National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, they have the loans. And by the fine folks at Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliance. Their tire specialists have over 5 decades of service in the Tri-City area. For more information on Garrett Tires and Appliance, log on to GarrettAppliance.com. UNK co-ed men's basketball coach Kevin Lofton joins us. They head to Mesa and Western this weekend. Coach, good morning. Thanks for hanging by with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Well, Kevin, it looks like the team is playing better. What do the coaches think?
We have our moments. I think we had a 4-game home span. We split. We thought we would be at least 1 game better than that. Letting the Springs come in and beat us was a tough one to take. We thought mine is good, fellas. I mean, mine is really good. They remind me a little bit of us in 2003 when we went on our run and made it to Elite Eight. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but they got some seasoned players that go out and they play the right way. So we thought it would be hard to beat them. But the other three teams, we figured that we thought we should come out ahead in those games, and we didn't. So I guess we're cautiously optimistic. We got to go on the road this weekend. We beat both of these teams at home, but when you go on the road, it's a different story.
Kevin, you're trying to play 40 minutes of basketball. How many minutes of consistent basketball is the best game you guys have played this year?
Wow, that's a good question. I would say the best game around 30, 35 maybe. You'll take you're only as good as your last game in the Mines game. I think we had our moments and we had chances there toward the end, but we just couldn't get offensive rebounds. I'd say in that game we played about 30, 35 minutes. Colorado Christian, we played really well right up until that last 5 minutes, and then we struggled to close it out. So, you know, I'd say we're right around that 30, 35-minute mark, and we got to push it to 40. And with 7 games left and you look at where we're at in the standings, it's now or never, to be honest with you. I mean, we got to really try to make a push over the next 7 games.
I know you guys, everybody's struggling for the consistent, the perfect basketball game. Is it defensive lapses? Is it the scoring droughts? You see, people that follow the Huskers, they saw them the last 3 years. They go 6 minutes without scoring. What is it for you guys?
It's a little of both, and this is what I mean. We have a team of guys, and when we recruit, we try to get guys that have a history of scoring the basketball. So it's kind of to be expected to some degree. But when our kids are scoring the ball, it energizes them and they play better defense. But when we have those scoring droughts, they tend to let it spill over to the defensive side of things. And instead of letting the defense give the offense a shot in the arm by getting stops and getting in transition and get some easy ones, they tend to go the other direction. And we've talked about that, and they're doing a little bit better job of it. When we went on the trip to Western New Mexico, our defense really gave us a shot in the arm and it got us up big. But then again, we hit that scoring drought kind of late in the second half, and then we kind of fell apart there at the end, and it cost us. So I guess to answer your question, I would say it goes hand in hand with this basketball team. When we struggle to score it, it tends to carry over to the defensive side, which we're trying to correct right now.
Kevin, since last we talked, you did go on that road trip. Coach Kropp couldn't go. You had a couple of kids out with illness. Are you back and everybody 100% healthy?
We're pretty close. I think Mike Dentlinger is struggling a little bit with a cold. He missed practice last night. I'm hoping he bounces back and is able to go tonight. But, yeah, Drew Sankey's back, and he's actually doing pretty well for us. He's starting to maybe even show signs of turning the corner and being a difference maker, or at least a contributor. And then Max is back from his bout with the flu too. So we're close to being full strength, and at this time of year, you just got to go, you know, whether you're 75% or 100%, give us everything you got at this time.
Tellinger's really starting to become that household name. Did you expect that?
One game, 29 and a half.
Yeah, did you expect that out of him, Kevin?
Honestly, I guess we were cautiously, there's that word again, cautiously optimistic at the start of the season because Coach Baugh at Millard North has always shot straight with us, and he said when we started recruiting the kid, is, hey, you're going to get a good one if you can get him. And we've had other people around that area tell us, hey, that kid, you know, some people said, hey, he's going to be your starter. He'll be a starter by the time you hit midseason or the end of the season. And as a coach, you hear that kind of stuff, and you're saying, yeah, okay, we'll see. Well, you know, when we kept hearing that from different sources, we kind of got excited. But, you know, he's a freshman, and he kind of has to prove himself throughout the course of the year, which he's done. So, yeah, one, we're very excited about him. And two, we had hoped he would be good, and luckily he has been good.
Kevin Lofton with us for another minute, the co-ed men's basketball coach at UNK. As we mentioned, they head to Mesa State. Their men's basketball team is better than the Western State team that they're going to face on Saturday. So Friday becomes a huge game because you're trying to chase Mesa down and stay in this postseason hunt.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, Mesa's a couple games ahead of us right now. The real fight's with Pueblo. We're even with them. But with seven games left, you would hope that we'd really, you know, in our mind as coaches, you would hope that the kids would really kind of raise their level of play and kind of take all doubt out of it. That way we know we're in that last week rather than hoping that we sweep or we win our last game against Chadron and maybe this team loses and that team loses. You know, you kind of like to put fate in your own hands, and that's what this road trip and the following five games are going to decide. So hopefully we start to play our best basketball. This time of year, teams that get hot are teams that fight their way into the postseason and go on runs in the postseason, and hopefully we can do that. In order for that to happen, I think Dentlinger has definitely got to continue to raise his level of play, and as well as Max Frelick and Drew Sankey and a lot of the guys.
Kevin, obviously, you just mentioned three of the pieces. When you're putting this puzzle together, what's the one piece when you look to the future of Loper basketball that you need to add?
To add, I would say a point guard, most definitely. I think that, you know, I take the Mines game. They got a young man, Sean Armstrong. He started since he's a freshman, and then it's paid off now that he's into his junior and senior year. He's awfully good. You take him off that team, or just like Andrew Bridger at UNO, you take him off that team, that's a totally different team. And that spot's the most important spot, the point guard spot. So that's our number one priority at this point. I think when you look at Dentlinger, who's just a freshman, you look at Sankey, who's just a freshman, there's your starting five and four man. So, you know, you kind of hope that they can – Sankey's a sophomore. But you kind of hope those two continue to blossom. So right now we definitely feel we got to get a really good point guard that could help us.
It is National Letter of Intent signing day for a variety of kids around the country. Without – obviously you can't specifically comment. How are you guys? I know you guys always have a little different philosophy on your recruiting. I don't know if that's changed or not, but you got your eyes on some kids around the area at all?
Yeah, we've been out to a couple games. We've been out to more than a couple. But, yeah, we've gone out and we looked at some local kids. We've also gone out and looked at some junior college kids. And, you know, as the kind of season kind of winds down and kids start to really narrow things down and try to make up their mind where they want to go, hopefully we're in the mix on a few.
All right, Coach, we'll let you get back to your day. Have a safe trip out west and bring back a couple of wins.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Kev. Kevin Lofton, co-ed men's basketball coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. They are looking to get a couple of wins. They're tied for seventh right now in the RMAC Conference, as he said, with Pueblo, and need to stay in that top eight. For the women right now, they are sitting fourth in the conference. They put together a nice homestand, nice stretch there. Vanessa Leeper had a really good week for the Lopers. Megan Becker became the 21st Loper to go over the 1,000-point mark in her career, and she has 1,029 now, good for 19. In UNK history. Kim Rickles had some very good games last week, and both teams are on the road. Also, there's a Loper lunch scheduled for tomorrow, Thursday, Loper lunch at the Health and Sports Center. Coaches will speak and talk about what's going on with their programs. Also, the wrestling team is home this weekend. They have a double duel Friday with 18th-ranked Adams State at 5, the New Mexico Highlands at 7. Saturday, they will host Colorado State Pueblo at 5. The track team head to the Frank Savine invite for the Huskers. Also, if you go to the Nebraska Wesleyan Quad, this weekend, and that's what's going on with the Lopers. And your Loper Link brought to you by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliance. Go to GarrettAppliance.com for information on all that they have to offer. And by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from new construction, home, commercial, and for the seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. Going to give away a pair of tickets to the Monster Trucks that are going on at the Heartland Event Center with the Winter Nationals and Thrill Show coming up later on in the program. Nebraska baseball coach Mike Anderson is just around the corner. Charles Davis from the NFL Network. How are we going to do it all?
Live from the Super Bowl, side of the Super Bowl, trying to stay warm in his igloo. They've built igloos now.
Kind of amazing. It is National Letter of Intent signing day, and we're back with more after this.
With a slightly sweet yet tangy flavor, Hole-in-One Farms dipping and glazing sauce is so thick it even clings to wings and fries. Try it on meat just before you take it off the grill, or pour it on meatballs and cocktail weenies. Maybe use it to glaze a meatloaf. If it gets the Hole-in kids to the dinner table on time, it'll work for yours too. Ask your grocer where they stock the Hole-in-One Farms products. Click on the Hole-in-One Farms link at kkpr.com for the Hole-in-One story.
Conference basketball tournament action comes your way this week on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. Wednesday night on ESPN 1550, the Adams Central girls begin play in the Lou Platt Conference Tournament as they take on St. Paul at 7 o'clock, brought to you by Aurora Co-op, rising to the challenge. And on Classic Hits 98.9, boys quarterfinal action from the Fort Kearney Conference Tournament with Loomis playing Elm Creek at 6, Pleasanton and Elwood at 7:30. It's High School Hoops Wednesday night.
Doug and Danny will have Monster Truck Winter Nationals tickets to give away this week.
Oh, no, not yet.
How do you win them?
Until the rules straightened out.
They don't know.
Rules? No rules? What?
But they do know. We won't let them scalp them, so they have to give them away. Weekdays at 11, it's Doug and Danny.
In case you want to make your friends back home feel envious.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550.
That's crazy.
A wind chill warning remains in effect yet early on today. Otherwise, we'll just see sunny skies continue with a high of around 7 as northwest winds stay breezy at times yet around 10 to 20. Tonight, temperatures fall to 8 below. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 3 above.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed that ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I want to make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on a Wednesday. A Wise Guys Wednesday at Godfather's Pizza on the Archway, in the Archway Plaza on top of the hill in Kearney. All you have to do for takeout or delivery is 234-9444, 234-9444. Don't forget their lunch buffet. Can you believe it? Just $6.50 every day from 11 to 2. That includes the salad bar. And if you just want to go in and enjoy a pizza or calzone, how about a dollar off their medium or large calzone today? Free medium drink on Thursday with their buffet as well. Folks, they're always there for you. Stop by and enjoy it. Great lunch buffet every day from 11 to 2. And again, the number for takeout or delivery, 234-9444. Bring the family down or have it delivered to your family at Godfather's Pizza in the Archway Plaza, Kearney. It shocks me every year when the wind chill is like this and the snow is flying that baseball gets underway. But Hastings, as we said on Monday, already has played official baseball games. The Huskers begin practice. UNK working out as well. Those teams will get to meet again as we get down to Haymarket Park. But, Tony, it's not just National Letter of Intent signing day. The Husker baseball team trying to get ready for their final run through the Big 12.
Well, they get those arms loosened up this afternoon, which may be tough to do. But Mike Anderson, head baseball coach at the University of Nebraska, joins us right now on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for the time.
Hello, gentlemen. You know, I had a chance to listen to you. It's Wise Guy Wednesday, I guess, and I'm not sure if that's a sign that you have me on. I'm a little worried about that.
That's why we put you right in the middle of the program, the wisest of them all.
Very good.
Mike, we have to throw this out as Mitch Sherman broke the story in the Omaha World Herald today. Let's get it out of the way before we start talking about what's going on the field. Logan Ehlers' story comes out that he has not received, I guess, his official amateur status from the NCAA. Where does this stand? And I guess I know you can't comment probably too much on it, but what is exactly going on for the fans that haven't heard this?
Well, it's more of a process that the NCAA is dealing with than it is Logan. So it breaking of the story, I'm not sure I would categorize it as that. I'd say there's a lot of misinformation that you gotta weed yourself through in a newspaper. But to be blunt, it's more of a process through the NCAA than it is Logan, and that's about all I'd really say with it. That we're working through what the NCAA has made some decisions on where they want to go with things, and we've waded through the process. So it's been interesting. I give a lot of credit to Logan and his patients and his parents' patients and everything that they've gone through. So it's we believe strongly in Logan and what he's done so far. So
are you worried, or is the program worried that he will or will not be eligible?
Well, you always, you know what, in any case, and I'm going to speak in generality, obviously, with this, but anytime, Tom Lemke last year, and these young men that, when you start talking high dollars and advisors and different things, you're worried about all of that. You want to make sure kids do things right, and, you know, in this case, well, obviously, we believe that, and every situation, obviously, you just want to make sure that you try to take care of your kids, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, that's one thing you're not sure the NCAA is always trying to do is look out for the best interest of the kid, and that's why they're the champions they are. What a bunch of morons! Anyway, sorry, Coach, I just had to get that. You look to come off a 27-27 year. I guess you start with this. Here in Central Nebraska, everybody wants the cash questions out there. You start with, I look at it, when you go back to the days of Nebraska heyday baseball, you always had that Friday night guy. We haven't had that the last couple of years. Do you look to have that this year?
We do. You know, you know, you mentioned it. We feel strong about Logan. We feel strongly about Tom Lemke. He got 6 wins under his belt last year as a freshman. Feel strongly that he can go out and get 10 for us this year. We feel like Niederklein can do that same thing. We feel like we've got 2 other freshmen in Tyler King and John Keller, and we feel like we have a top freshman as well as a starter. I think the most important thing out of the last 2 years is we haven't finished games well on the mound, and we've got freshmen and a senior on the back part of things that we feel can finish games, and Brandon Pearson, a young man named Casey Hopman. So, you know, You're absolutely right. You hit it on the head when you say our heyday, that's what we had. And we've really tried to rebuild the program back to where it was after getting hit by that draft. And 26 underclassmen, we feel good about the group that we have. And let's see if we can take our chances with this group.
Nebraska baseball coach Mike Anderson is joining us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Had a chance to speak to a couple members of the media when you opened practice over the weekend, Coach, and you spoke about Cash Kalkowski. He is out, in your words, for the season, throwing the baseball, or pitching, we should say, but he is still going to be a part of this baseball team. What is your plan?
Well, the plan is we got an athlete in Cash Kalkowski, and always have, and you know, he went through quite a process of trying to get himself healthy with this arm, and you know, some rehabs, another surgery to clean things up, and my guess is that and I'll say this from my standpoint, Cash may have a different opinion of saying, hey, at some point I might be ready, but in the best interest of Cash throughout this year and throughout his career, if by chance he ever wants to pitch again, it would be in his best interest to probably just throw this year and not go down the process of pitching. With that being said, he's fortunate, and we're fortunate, that he's a very good athlete and has the ability to hit and do some other things. So he had a very good fall for us swinging the bat. He did that in high school. We always said that was a possibility, and thankfully he's a good enough athlete. He has some things to fall back on and you know, maintain his career possibly as a pitcher. But I would say that's kind of an outside chance this year. Let's see if he can go hit about 5, 6, 7 home runs and hit about 320 and help this team win some games.
Head baseball coach at the University of Nebraska joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show, Mike Anderson. Coach, I guess you go back to heyday on the offensive side of the ball. You had Dan Johnson, Matt Hopper come to mind. Who's the pop in this lineup going to come from?
Nobody, and I mean that with all due respect. The NCAA changed the bat rules this past year. You know, we've got bats that are as probably as dead as they've ever been, and it's going to change the game. It's going to change the game from power to small ball, and you're going to have to be diligent with going about your business. Most teams, I would say, between 60 to 70% home run totals in the fall were down. We didn't hit many home runs, and you know, we've tried to adapt our game to strong pitching, strong defense, and being able to adapt to a new game, because these bats, the old trampoline effect is going to be out of the game, out of the bat. So if you've got a home run hitting team, boy, I'll tell you this, that's great to go into a season that way, and it'll affect quite a bit. So we do have some guys I think can go out and hit five or six. I think Cody Ashe's one. I think Cash Kalkowski could be another. I think Cale Kiser, Chad Christensen, and Josh Sheffert. So, you know, if we put a grand total of 35 to 40 home runs up on the board this year, I'll be pleased with that.
Does that hurt the niche that college baseball is kind of carved, I guess?
It might. That's a great question. You know, I think the from the Coaches Association, one of the things that we're trying to impress upon the NCAA is these rules and these mandates came down from you guys. Give us the opportunity, if this does change the game, give us the opportunity and leave open the possibility of revisiting the way college baseball was. Because if by chance our fan numbers are down, and if by chance we lose some of the luster and the feel of college baseball, that we have that chance to go back to the way things were. So it's a difficult process. We've had this will be a transition year for a lot of clubs. Hopefully we're in the right position for it.
Another minute here with Nebraska head baseball coach Mike Anderson. Their season begins down in Texas with a variety of opponents on February the 18th. How's this new, rookie first-year assistant coach thing working out?
He's pretty darn good. I'll tell you this. He keeps calling himself a rookie. And, he's fascinating because of the knowledge and the experience that Darren Erstad brings to our club. And but I keep saying this, his ability to serve young men is his greatest asset. That he puts his career, his self-interest behind him, and literally serves young men. And that's really the first and foremost quality you need as a coach. And so he's enjoying the rookie process, and this he'll have a lot of influence on these young men in this process.
Coach, I know the conference season is still obviously a ways away, but that's what we'll look at going through this final run through the Big 12. As many as seven teams in the 40, top 40, and as many as four in these top 25. And then Tony made the observation this week, there's nobody even on the radar this year in the Big 10 conference. We've asked all the other coaches, what's different about recruiting, style of play, when you make this transition?
Well, I think the biggest transition is the fact that there's a little bit of a stigma involved with Northern schools. And teams that play Big Ten teams will tell you they're pretty darn good. Now, two things that have to happen. The Big Ten has to create a better RPI. There's a history involved with that. California didn't used to have a good RPI in terms of California teams, and they got a lot of teams left out of the NCAA. That's happening and has happened with the Big Ten. You're going to have to play quality teams. You're going to have to figure out a way to get UCLA and Fresno State into your place. Those teams will travel. Those teams will do those things. But and then there needs to be an acceptability that Big Ten teams can play. They do some good things. We're going to have to really kind of fight through some things in the beginning and try to get one, two, try to get a third team, maybe even a fourth team from the Big Ten and the NCAAs. And once we do that and have success, it should be a fun experience. We fought through some of those things within the Big 12, too. And, we got up to seven teams in the Big 12 at one point. I think last year's was just five, but that was a battle to get those numbers up there. It'll be a fun battle to fight going into that Big 10.
Coach, I think some of the people failed to realize last year is how difficult that schedule was. When you look back at last year, 27-27, are you surprised that you were 500?
If I look back at last year, the first thing I'd do is say, let me figure out a way to schedule some easier teams. We played the toughest schedule of anybody in the Big 12 with a group of freshmen that I love. I love going through the process. I won't lie to you. It's a hard process to go through, especially when we've had a lot of success in the past. But our hope, number one, we didn't come off of our regimen of recruiting freshmen and doing that. We didn't decide to load up on a bunch of junior college kids. And I would hope that in the long run, our decisions that we made during a couple difficult times, which is to stay the course with the recruiting philosophy that we've had, that'll pay off for us in the long run. And this is the year to make that adjustment and go with it and, you know, get ourselves back to the top of the Big 12 and find ourselves in a regional. That's our goal.
Coach, I see Washington early on in that schedule. You don't happen to remember a guy from Kearney named David Gappa hitting a home run off a Washington reliever back in the day, do you?
Dang right, David Gappa. He could hit the baseball. He played with Coach Erstad in 1995, I think 96, somewhere in there. But I will also tell you this. I think we played Washington. If you look at the stat sheet, my memory's going, but it was at New Mexico State.
Yes.
And the biggest stat of the day was the 65-mile-an-hour winds that were blowing straight out of the ballpark. So Dave Gappa hit a ball, but count that wind as a helper.
Coach, best of luck with this team. We'll see you on the home opener against UNK on March 2nd, and have a safe trip down to Texas later this month. Thanks, as always, for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thank you, gentlemen. Take care.
Take care. Coach A, Mike Anderson of the Huskers, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I don't even know what to say here in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth on this Wednesday program, National Letter of Intent signing day, where the Huskers pretty much secured everything. We expect our list from Hastings College and UNK, whether it be shortly or in the next hour or two. Don't forget Bo Pelini's. We'll have a teleconference at 2:30. We will air that for you when it begins here on ESPN Radio, so you can hear what the coach has to say about a variety of things going out there. One of these things you won't be able to webcast or vidcast because there is no press conference. It's a teleconference, all audio, and we'll have that for you here at the Midway Auto Group booth. I'll tell you what, Daddy, my car, it's not out in front of the station today. Why? Because the folks at Midway are putting
working
it in tip-top shape. They said it looks cold, bring it inside. So I am. And at Midway, they're going to take care of you. They would have given me a ride back. I said, I don't want to go back. They said, but there's no charge for our shuttle service. I said, I don't want to go back. I want to hang out here in your cool lounge and see what's going on. In fact, Andy was there, and I observed when he wasn't watching. Andy was there bright and early this morning, had the coat, had the scarf, right to work, right to his office. And, like, I was there for about a half an hour. People constantly coming in, getting advice from Andy, getting work from Andy, getting their knowledge from Andy. Then it looked like they had a little meeting, and then he came back. More people saying, Andy, give me your knowledge. Folks, they're all there for you at the Midway Auto Group. Midway Advantage, Midway, thinkmidway.com. They're there for you. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway Dodge Chrysler Jeep, Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. Charles Davis of the NFL Network coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golding.
I got a letter from the office of the Fantasyville Commissioner in my mailbox this morning.
That's right. I sent that.
Oh, nice letterhead. Anyway, it says that you reserve the right to fine me up to $10,000 if I move forward with my plan this weekend?
That's right. It wasn't my idea, big fella, but the other guys in the league are really concerned.
What are you talking about?
Well, one of the guys heard you saying you're going to eat Johnsonville sausage naked at your party this weekend.
So what's the problem?
Mike, let me just tell you, and I mean this as a friend, we really, really don't want to see you naked eating a sausage.
Oh, Greeny, you're an idiot. I'm not going to be naked. The Johnsonville sausage is going to be naked. As in no buns, no condiments, nothing. That's the beauty of Johnsonville brats and Italian sausages. They're so packed with juicy flavor, and they're great all by themselves. You can't say that about burgers and chicken.
Can't tell you how relieved that makes me. Consider that letter officially rescinded.
Noted.
Take your game day party from good to great with juicy Johnsonville sausage, made with only premium cuts of pork since 1945. Johnsonville, sausage is all we do.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified bill paying. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by your local Farm Bureau agents, Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney today at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A wind chill warning remains in effect yet early on today. Otherwise, we'll just see sunny skies continue with a high of around 7 as northwest winds stay breezy at times yet around 10 to 20. Tonight, temperatures fall to 8 below. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 3 above.
Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. What's the latest, Tony?
The latest is we've got Todd Pete Jr. That was a big surprise of the morning in Nebraska recruiting land. 19 players have committed to the Huskers, still waiting on those junior college kids to make their commitments, but only two of them, and they are supposed to do it together, so there should not be a problem there. And
how nice.
Right out of top 10 class for the Huskers.
By the way, Tyson Brockmeyer, the latest walk-on for the Huskers coming out of Aurora. Congratulations to Tyson. Let's see if he can make an impact there. He's wanting to play quarterback, which I think great if he finds a way, but I think he's going to have to prove people just like he did in high school, just like a Danny Woodhead did, just like a lot of other people have done. He's going to have to make believers, I think, of a lot of people.
Well, selfishly, we wanted Tyson Brockmeyer to play at UNK or Hastings College to see him closer to home, see his talents on the field. But good for him. Congratulations, Tyson.
And by the way, spring game tickets currently on sale. The spring game, April 16th. $10 for reserve tickets to the spring game. Huskers.com or 1-800-8-BIG-RED.
Why not go to Dallas right now? The balmy Dallas. It's -2 here this morning. What is it in Dallas? Charles Davis from the NFL Network joins us right now on the Doug and Day Show. Charles, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for the time.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. And according to my thin blood, it's -2 here, too.
What?
And I'm not happy about it. You should have heard people getting off the plane yesterday. It was hilarious. Because I got off the plane in Dallas, and there was some jam-up with our bags coming off of the conveyor belt when you check baggage, which is why I check baggage on an average of 3 times per year. I try my best never to do it. But because I'm here for a while, I had to. So we're waiting, and then things got jammed up, and they couldn't get it. Then they switched us to another belt, and I mean, it was just a whole mess. We probably didn't get bags literally until probably almost an hour and 15, hour 30 after the plane landed. So I'm standing next to a guy, and he had come in from, I guess he lives in the New York, New Jersey area, and he turned around and just said, "And they really want to have a Super Bowl in New York?" He said, "Really?" He said, "Can you imagine?" He said, "Think of it this way, because the Dallas airport was shut down for half of yesterday during the day, and I've heard it was shut down for a while today too." He said, "Imagine people trying to get into New York City, and you know what's happening there. If it's -2 where you are, it's just been Blizzard City back in the Northeast, and New York airports have been shut down, flights have been canceled, the whole thing's been a mess." I said, "Imagine paying your money to go to the Super Bowl, and you can't even get there."
Yeah.
He said, "Think what that's going to be like." And then the guy next to him said, "Yeah, but you know, the NFL's luck, when they have it in New York, they'll get Indian summer weather. It'll be perfectly balmy by New York standards. And then, of course, that'll encourage them to take it to Pittsburgh and New England, everywhere else." And the guy said, "Shut up right there. Just stop. Stop. Super Bowls are supposed to be held in warm weather places. You're supposed to feel like you're going on vacation. You're not supposed to be coming up here huddled up." I mean, he was hot. All right? Let me tell you something. His anger may have raised the temperature a degree or two in Dallas yesterday. I was cracking up listening to the guy. And then I got here, and I'm telling you, cars are all off on the side of the road. The roads are icy. I mean, they're not used to this. They're not built for this, although I have heard that the weather will be much improved by the weekend.
Charles, David, they said, I think I saw 57 now for a high on Sunday when everybody will actually
be
inside.
Balmy.
Yeah, there you go. I thought it was supposed to always be warm in Texas. And by the way, Charles, I speak from personal experience. I've stood there and stared at those conveyor luggage belts at Dallas airport for over an hour, too. I don't think that's just a weather thing. That's crazy.
Not just the weather. You think maybe that's just that airport thing?
I think so.
Dave, I'm going to go with it. I mean, it's just one of those days. I mean, two of my flights had been canceled to Dallas. I was lucky to get get in. So at that point, I wasn't complaining as much as I wanted to. But, you know, it's just one of those days. But my man next to me, he was my entertainment factor for the day.
Well, Charles, before we break down your thoughts on the Super Bowl, let's go back to Mobile, Alabama and the Senior Bowl, which was on the NFL Network. And you put in a lot of time getting ready to look at all of these guys that are trying to get into the NFL draft. And there were more Huskers there than anybody, but it didn't look like any of them really had a huge game. Was this a game more to look at a couple quarterbacks and the linemen? There wasn't a lot of running the football. There wasn't a lot of special teams in this football game. What stuck out to you?
Oh, boy. I'll give you fleeting snapshots, okay?
That'd be great.
Derek Locke, running back from Kentucky, smaller guy. Had some injury troubles throughout his career, but he only played 9 games as senior. He fell off a moped somewhere on campus and hurt his shoulder, so he missed a bunch of games. He ended up playing 9 games all of last year, but he's over 100 yards in 5 of those games running the football. He ran the ball well early. You know, as you said, there weren't very many running plays. The ones they ran early, he ran it really well. Great vision, ability to change direction, cut, get up into the hole, and he ran inside. And for a little guy, that was big. Jake Locker, quarterback, Washington, probably the guy with the most scrutiny at that position going into the game, has the live arm, no doubt about it, has the athletic ability, probably runs in the 4.4s. I mean, put together very well for, you know, a baseball guy who could have gone that route and made big money, decided to play quarterback. Accuracy was the question coming in. Accuracy remains the question. As I said, the ball comes off his hands well, but he threw 2 balls on skinny posts. In an all-star game, they're playing cover 1 and cover 3. Cover 1 is man with a free safety high. Everyone else playing man-to-man, and cover 3 is 3 deep zone, free safety in the middle. So no matter what, you've got to think that that safety's there, manipulate him off of the mark, and then bring the ball back to your guy. Jake stared the guy down, threw a great pass, except high. About got 2 receivers decapitated. So that's going to be a question for him. Christian Ponder, quarterback, Florida State. Question mark was his arm and his shoulder. Were they 100%? Best quarterback on the field in the game on Saturday. Got better with each practice session as the week went on. Does a great job manipulating the safety with his eyes and his head. And then he threw a beautiful ball late in the game to Jeremy Curley, the slot guy from TCU, who also had a really nice week. Beautiful throw. Kept the free safety out of it. Didn't let him come into the play and take his guy out. It was wonderful. Rodney Hudson, guard, Florida State. Thought he was going to be undersized. Turned out he weighed in at 292 and did a nice job at left guard, right guard, and also played some center during the week. As far as the Huskers, Pierre Allen, defensive end, I saw him rushing the passer a lot. I didn't see him get to the passer. And I'm talking about in drills as well as the game. But you have to remember, we see portions of each practice. We don't watch every snap. So when I say that, I don't want everybody going, well, Charles Davis said he never got to the passer. I didn't see him get to the passer. Okay, these eyes did not see it happen. That's all I'm saying. The rest of it, I don't know. I think he's gonna have to scramble a little bit just based on what I saw this week. Niles Paul, receiver, kind of guy that you see, you hear about, you watch. Not sure how much your eyes go back to him after you've watched him, but he made a big play on special teams in the game. I'm gonna tell you something. As you guys well know, making it in the league, a lot of it is special teams play, and he made a big play covering a punt right there when the guy caught the ball, blasted him. It was beautiful. Had to give him big credit for that. Wasn't much of a factor during the game in terms of catching the football. Let's see, were there any Huskers there? I'm trying to remember who else might have been there.
Halu was there.
Halu and
Henry. Oh, yeah,
Halu.
Yeah. Steady guy. I liked him better coming into the week. Probably than I did once the week was over. I didn't see, how do I say this the right way? I didn't see anything that made me, you know, go, ooh, or wow, or anything like that. I didn't see any of that. I saw a lot of steadiness, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think he's probably a 4th or 5th rounder right now, you know, based on what I saw this week. I've been wrong many times before, but again, you know, in talking with different people, I asked about him, and I pretty much got the same answer everywhere. Steady was the number one word that was said about him. As I said, they could say a lot worse about you than steady. I mean, I heard a lot of, that guy can't play dead this week. So
Right.
So you don't want that attached to your name. So those are just a few snapshots as we go. If there are guys specifically you want to know about, I'll be happy if you ask me about them.
Charles, do the scouts and stuff, obviously watching those practices, more goes into that than that actual game, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Tony. I mean, the game itself is terrific, and for a guy who's had a big week, you want to cap it off with a big game. But you don't make up a really lousy week with a great game because the rules aren't, you know, it's not totally what you're going to see when you're going to play because the rules are limited for the defense, you know, all that sort of a deal. So if you had a lousy week, most of the coaches and scouts are gone at that point anyway. They'll see it on tape, but it's not going to make up for it. What they want to see is what have you done all week long? Did you get better in practices each and every day?
Charles Davis of the NFL Network in Arlington, Texas, getting ready for Super Bowl 45 between the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't think Charles is overly shocked about the teams that are on hand. If I reckon back to our last conversation, what do you think about the two teams representing their conferences?
Oh, I'm excited about this game. I think most people, unless you're fans of teams who aren't in it, obviously, you know, that thought you were going to get them. If you're a Bears fan, you're upset. If you're a Jets fan, you're really upset. But prior to that, if your team was already out of the playoffs, you're thinking, this is a pretty good Super Bowl. You love the history of both franchises. You love the now of both franchises. I mean, Mike Tomlin, let's go ahead and call him an elite coach, guys. I mean, this is his second Super Bowl in, what, four seasons?
Right.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. And, oh, by the way, he's not even 40 yet. Think about that. Mike Tomlin's going to have two. He could easily have two Super Bowl victories in the bag before he's 40 years old. I'm not sure how many other guys. I mean, only been a handful who've won them before they were 40. Let alone a guy who's had two,
right,
or even gotten there. So that's a big deal. Obviously, the injury to Pouncey inside the center, whether he can play or not, you can't expect him to be 100%. That's a problem with the way B.J. Raji's rushing the passer for Green Bay, and just being stout against the run. That's an issue. But the rest of it is really, to me, it's kind of a toss-up game. You know, Roethlisberger versus Rodgers, doesn't that kind of negate each other, especially Ben in big games? And, of course, you know, Rodgers, he's just been dynamite most of the playoffs. Run game, Rashard Mendenhall should carry that for Pittsburgh versus Green Bay's. But Green Bay's running game, don't forget, gets a boost from Rodgers, who was the second-best running quarterback during the year behind Vic. People probably don't even think about that. I mean, he had over 400 yards running the ball this year, which is probably a little bit of a shock to everyone's system because he doesn't do it like a Vic does it. I mean, then again, who does?
Right.
When you get down to it. The key to me is, will Pittsburgh come after Rodgers off the edges, go after him versus Green Bay and their four wide receiver set? Is that what they're planned? Is that what they're planning on doing, trying to get to Rodgers before he can get the ball in their hands? And will Aaron Rodgers stand in the pocket, take the hit, and deliver? Arizona against Pittsburgh, you plug in that game tape in that Super Bowl, the second half of the game, that's when Arizona went a little high, wide, and handsome and had that work out for them. A lot better than they did in the first half when they were so preoccupied with blocking those guys. They just said, Kurt, you're going to have to take the hit, Kurt Warner, and you got to get the ball delivered. And he did, and saved Big Ben's last drive. Arizona wins the game in the second half. So I'm thinking Green Bay is going to test them early and say, okay, if you want to come after us, we're going to count on Aaron to get the ball out of his hands quickly, and that's how we're going to combat your pass rush because Woodley and of course, Harrison coming off the edges is fearsome for anyone.
Charles Davis, the NFL Network, joins us for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Charles, a couple things. The Steelers players, they've been going to strip joints early in the week.
No. No.
Yeah.
No. Say it isn't so.
Well, either you're in Dallas. You got steakhouse, you got strip houses. You know,
say it isn't so, Tony. No.
Does that bother you as far as their focus and stuff, or are they just loose guys having a good time and they'll get focused later in the week?
I'll put it to you this way. If we put people in the strip houses in all of the franchise's hometowns on early in the week of a game week, we probably find about the same thing. I mean, I don't think that this is like, hey guys, let's go strip club for the first time this year.
I gotcha.
Call me skeptical, right? I mean, really?
You think there's
and does that tell you where we are now that we assign a reporter to go to the strip club?
Oh, daddy's gig, daddy's
hey,
gig.
How would you like to be that reporter, honey? Listen, I'm gonna reek when I get home tonight. It wasn't because I wanted to. It's because my editor made me.
Yeah,
think
baby.
About that.
Yeah, baby doll, sweet baby. There you go.
You know, I mean, and by the way, do you have any singles? I mean, seriously? That's your assignment? Oh, Come on.
Come on.
I don't think that's going to have any bearing on whether they play well or not this weekend. I'll leave it to you this way. The Oakland Raiders, at their most fearsome, did they even think about curfew? Did they ever give anyone a breathalyzer? Did they ever ask them where they were the night before? Do you think John Matuszak slept at all in New Orleans when they beat Philadelphia Eagles? Do you think he even considered it? No. How'd that work out for the Raiders that day?
You know, on Green Bay side of things, they're still practicing full pads. Do you like that aspect of it?
If that's what they're used to doing, I like it. If it's a different thing, I'm not crazy about it. I have a feeling that Mike McCarthy's just following the same kind of routine they've practiced all year long. I don't think there's any change, any major difference, this is a Super Bowl, we have to do something different. I don't think that's it at all. And the experience factor, I think the experience factor with more Steelers having Super Bowl experience, I think the Packers have two guys who have any Super Bowl experience at all. The Steelers have like 28 to 38 or whatever that number is. You know where I think the factor shows up, Tony and guys? It shows up early in the week after you win the championship game and you get someone to handle your tickets, someone to handle the hotel rooms, someone to screen your calls, to let you just focus on football. Because the Steelers know how to do that and spread the word. The Packers have two guys who have done it before and are spreading the word. So you think that experience factor tilts towards Pittsburgh. But as far as the rest of it, handling the media, getting down here and practicing, all that other stuff, I don't think that's any big deal.
And your prediction, Charles?
I like Green Bay by a field goal. I'm saying 24-21. The injury to Pouncey really helps tilt things for me because I just think it's tough for the Steelers' offensive line to hold up in this ball game again. But every time I say that, they hold up well enough to win Super Bowls. So I'm telling you guys, this is a coin flip game. I'm leaning towards the Green Bay Packers, but this is not one of those ones where I'm coming out with the most conviction I've ever had in my life. I had way more conviction of Green Bay going to Philadelphia and winning. I had way more conviction of Green Bay beating Chicago. I had way more conviction of Chicago slamming, you know, Seattle, you name it. I don't have that kind of conviction in this one, but I am picking Green Bay. I'm on record.
Well, Charles, we are looking forward to a great Super Bowl. We always appreciate your time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and hopefully we can catch up with you again soon. Enjoy the game.
All right, you guys take care. This is signing day, isn't it?
It is signing day.
Is it signing day? So this is the first Big Ten signing day for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, right?
Yep, 19 are in. We're still waiting on two junior college kids.
An historic day. And what I love about Nebraska is it's not just the signing day. It's the who's committed to be walk-ons day. You don't have that very many places, but it's special in Nebraska.
Well, that is special. We got one from just down the road, Tyson Brockmeyer, preferred walk-on there. He kind of rounds out the deal, and so that's good news for him. His brother Joe got on the field late in the year as a receiver, made some catches versus Colorado.
What position does this kid play, Tony?
Well, they're going to try and let him play quarterback. But
Tyson Brockmeyer's a quarterback?
Yes.
He should be playing nose.
No, he's a little undersized for
yeah,
nose.
Yeah, but I mean Tyson Brockmeyer. Man, well, that's a great name.
He could be riding bulls, too.
Yeah, he definitely could be doing that, but I wish him all the best and all the rest of the kids who are going to sign and embark on their college careers. I hope they have as good a career as you have, big boy.
He'll have a much, much better career than that. Charles,
I don't know
best.
About that. Quit being modest because we're going to be telling some more stories at the family reunion this year, okay?
That's a promise. Charles Davis.
All right,
the
be
NFL.
Good, guys.
Thanks. Stay warm. Charles Davis, we got to take a quick break on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be back after this.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd from ESPN Radio. Are you in the mood for something brand new and exciting for lunch? Try Domino's $5 carryout lunch menu. Just listen to some of the choices you have to pick from. A variety of penne pastas in a dish, oven-baked sandwiches, or two-topping small-inspired pizzas for $5 each. Go to Domino's for their new $5 carryout lunch menu today. This offer only available until 2, carryout only. Bread bowl may be extra. You must ask for this limited-time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. The $5 carryout lunch menu only at Domino's.
I'm here today with Ray and Honey Smith.
Hello.
Looks like you two lovebirds,
We dress alike.
Whoa, those matching pantsuits remind me of GEICO and 21st Century Insurance. They're the same, too. Both offer the same great coverage, same no-hassle claim service. They're basically the same.
Like our matching fanny packs?
Yeah, and drivers who switch from GEICO to 21st save an average of $474 a year.
Want to see our matching tank tops?
We're out of time, folks. For a free rate quote, visit us online at 21st.com. 21st Century Insurance. The same great coverage for less.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
The stage is set. The Pittsburgh Steelers are building a modern-day Steeler dynasty with their third big game appearance in the last 6 years.
32 teams that start this journey, and there's two left, and we're fortunate enough to be one of them.
Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers have created a prolific offense on the strong arm of Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers, Jake fakes the handoff, bootleg left, diving for the pylon.
It's Packers Steelers on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A wind chill warning remains in effect yet early on today. Otherwise, we'll just see sunny skies continue with a high of around 7 as northwest winds stay breezy at times yet around 10 to 20. Tonight, temperatures fall to 8 below. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 3 above.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Giving you a chance right now to win tickets to the Monster Truck Winter National and Thrill Show going on at the Heartland Event Center. You can go either Friday or Saturday night at 7:30. We're giving away a pair of tickets to someone that hasn't won them yet this week on the show. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Here's your trivia question. What was Zach Starrup's number at Hastings St. Cecilia? There you go. What was that? And he's a lineman. That should help you. Zach Starrup of the Blue Hawks, who signed this morning his letter of intent, a four-star lineman from Rivals, to join the Nebraska football program. What was Zach Starrup's high school football number for Hastings St. Cecilia? 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. First correct caller wins tickets to this weekend's Monster Truck Winter Nationals and Thrill Show at the Heartland Events Center in Grand Island. Also, the Huskers play tonight, Tony. The men at Kansas State. The women will be taking on Missouri. Hastings College is home tonight. Take on Concordia. You can hear that on 1230 KHS. You can hear the men's game on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. Any predictions?
Well, Diaz has arrived. We just got an email. We appreciate the email, a photo of him shooting the basketball at Bramlage Coliseum. So he will be in uniform, and that's good news for the Huskers. Kansas State's a team reeling. Will they fight, or will they lay down like they did against Kansas on Saturday? I got to think Nebraska had a very good chance to win this ballgame.
Oh, it just, you know, it warms the cockles of my heart on a cold day like this where the actual temperature is below zero and the wind chill is even lower, to bring back another great moment in Doug and Daddy Show history.
Hey, Kansas State steps into the Devaney Center tonight.
Nebraska wins the game tonight outright. Nebraska wins.
Oh, Douglas, I like your optimism. Not going to happen. Michael Beasley with a beatdown tonight. Huskers reeling and don't think they can get it going. Don't think they have anything going.
Nebraska wins outright tonight.
What happened? What happened?
Nebraska won that basketball game against Michael Beasley at home. Do they win tonight?
That's where Beasley said he was going to go for 50, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go for 50. Yeah, you ain't even going to have your team score 50. You 11-point favorites. I think they were a 9-point favorite, and Huskers beat him down. Tony, this is, they can't win on the road. They win at home, and they find a tough time to win on the road. I got to go opposite here. There is no reason. Kansas State has to win this basketball game. They're reeling. They have no reason to win the game. Thus, they probably win it. But Nebraska's defense, I will say this, this is one of their better chances. This is one of their top chances to win a game on the road against a team that's supposed to be good.
Well, your better chance to go watch the game and enjoy Burger Night. The Chicken Coop is where it's at, both Kearney and Grand Island. Any burger off the menu, like the Mushroom Burger, the Bacon Burger, even get the legendary Totally Jack Burger. Only the Chicken Coop, $5. $5 is all it is, both Kearney and Grand Island Chicken Coops. Plus, don't forget the special warm-up to beef and noodles and mashed potatoes and a dinner roll, $5.99 today and tomorrow at the Chicken Coop. 15 definition, high-definition TVs await you. Not a bad seat in the house. Plus, the great food and drink specials go on day and night. All your favorite sports. The Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Get there today and check it out.
And, folks, I've been getting emails. I've been getting texts here during the show. Is the game on television tonight? Yes, it's on that Big 12 network. No, you won't get it if you have Charter. It's not on Fox Sports. It's on the Big 12 Network. If you've got the Dish or DirecTV, you'll be able to pick it up. It's on the radio. Or you go to the Chicken Coop and you watch the game tonight. Did we get a winner?
We got Matthew from Hastings.
Ah! How did I know Hastings would come through? Zach Stirrup wearing number 74 in his collegiate, well, in his high school days. We'll see what he does in his collegiate days. Congratulations, Matt. He's going to the Monster Truck Winter Nationals and Thrill Show at the Heartland Events Center this weekend. We want to thank Zach Stirrup for joining us on the show today. We want to thank Charles Davis of the NFL Network. We want to thank Nebraska baseball coach Mike Anderson. And we want to thank UNK co-admins basketball coach Kevin Lofton, all for joining us on the show today. A reminder that coming up at approximately 2:30, Bo Pelini will answer media questions, and we'll bring that to you here on ESPN Radio at 2:30. Tomorrow, from the Mirage MGM, oh, it's all out there in Vegas, we are going to be talking with Jay Rude. He is Mike Perenio's boss. I didn't even know he had one. He looks over all the pools in the city. We'll also talk with Sean Callahan of Huskers Illustrated about the completed Husker class. We'll also be chatting with Daryl Morris, Tony Harper, Hastings College, and UNK.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.